Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will no longer have no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace.
Most of us know that the Israelites were the people of God in the Old Testament, and that they are often referred to as the bride of God. And we understand, of course, that in most of those passages, sadly, they are viewed as an unfaithful wife. They are viewed as being adulterous in nature. They go off, of course, into whoredom. And Jeremiah chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, turn over there, is one passage that over and over again refers to the unfaithfulness of the Israelites. I'm going to read several verses here, or at least parts of these verses from Jeremiah chapter 3. Beginning at verse 6, it says, "The Lord said to me in the days of King Josiah, have you seen what she did, that faithless one Israel?" And let me pause and say the word faithless there in the King James and in the New King James and perhaps some other translations, it is translated backsliding. And actually, this is one place where the King James is more accurate than the ESV here and other more modern translations. The Hebrew word there means to turn away or to slide back. So backsliding really fits the text better. So let me begin again, and I'm going to just use the word backsliding, as many of your translations say, because, again, that's more accurate. So the Lord said to me in the days of King Josiah, have you seen what she did, that backsliding one Israel, how she went up on every high hill and under every green tree and there played the whore? Then at verse 8 it says, and she saw that for all of the adulteries of that backsliding one Israel, I sent her away with a decree of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she too went and played the whore. Verse 11 says, and the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words, verse 12 says, towards the north and say, return, backsliding Israel. Verse 14, return, O backsliding children. Verse 22 says, return, O backsliding sons. I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God. And so it's kind of sad that over and over again, this is the picture that the Bible paints of Israel. They were a backsliding people. And all these years later, of course, we realize now the people of God is the church. We are spiritual Israel. But we can fall into the same trap that they fell into. We can, of course, backslide. And so tonight, just for a couple of minutes, we want to talk about this idea of backsliding. The best place to begin, I suppose, is just to emphasize the fact that backsliding is a possibility. There are many people who say that that's impossible. That, of course, is Calvinism. But we can indeed backslide. Notice over in 1 Corinthians, chapter 9 is the chapter, and we'll begin reading at verse 24. I'm sure that you're familiar with this context. 1 Corinthians 9 at verse 24, Paul writes, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. You've heard me say before there that that is, he's using figurative language there. The Greek word there, one Greek word covers several of those words, and it was the word used to describe someone hitting himself in the face as to leave a mark, what we would call black eye. And so again, Paul is using that word metaphorically and emphasizing the rigid self-control that he would exercise. But he says, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after perishing, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So Paul understood then, even as an inspired apostle, that he could so live his life to be disqualified. He goes on in chapter 10 to warn the Corinthians. The Corinthians were thinking that somehow because they had obeyed the gospel and had certain spiritual privileges that they could never be disqualified. And down at verse 12, he says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And notice the scope of that. At verse 12, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands. Truth of the matter is, any of us here tonight could backslide. Doesn't matter if you're a preacher, doesn't matter if you're a seasoned saint, doesn't matter if you're an elder or a deacon, all of us could backslide. And so he says, take heed. Of course, over in the passage that Todd read for us in Galatians chapter 5, it is amazing to me in view of this passage that anyone would teach that it's impossible to fall from grace. But Galatians chapter 5 at verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now, why in the world would Paul tell these people this if it was impossible? They were set free by the power of the gospel of Christ. But Paul says you can be enslaved again. He down at verse 4, of course, he says, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. And certainly that means that they would be in that state lost. We are saved by grace. What happens if you fall away from grace? Then obviously you would be lost, severed from Christ. And so we realize from these passages, and we could look at several others, and then we could even look at some Bible examples of people who have fallen, but clearly we can backslide. And so we ought to be aware of some of the things that might cause an individual, any of us, anyone like you or me, to backslide. One thing would be spiritual shallowness. Remember the great parable of the sower? Turn over to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus describes different conditions of heart, four different conditions of heart. But down at verse 5, he says, other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have as much soil. And immediately they sprung up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. And then drop down a little bit, verse 20, we get the interpretation. Jesus gives the interpretation of that. He says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, I should have pointed out that the rocky ground there is not soil that is mingled with a bunch of pebbles or a bunch of rocks, but it is a thin layer of soil that covers a rock. And that was implied by those verses that I just read a second ago, beginning at verse 5. But that's the picture of it. It's the rocky ground is not just a bunch of rocks, but a little bit of soil over a rock. So that when that seed is sown, the roots can't go very deep because it hits the rock. And so that's what he's describing here. So in verse 20 again, for what was sown on rocky ground, that is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And so we get the point of this parable, don't we? And some people obey the gospel, and they hear the gospel, that spiritual seed is implanted, and in short time they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they anoint with joy. They're full of joy, and you can see it in even the way they behave. They're excited about things. They attend all the services of the saints. Sunday morning, they're here. Sunday night, they're here. Wednesday night, they're here. Every night of the gospel meeting, they are here. They have a lot of zeal. But then something happens. Tribulation and persecution arises. Like that sun that arises and scorches the plant that doesn't have very deep roots. That tribulation comes and persecution comes. All of a sudden, this new Christian, his life or her life isn't working as well as it was before. And so they quit. Why? Because they have no root. They're not well grounded. Spiritual shallowness that can cause you to backslide. And so it should be the purpose of all of us to do whatever we have to do to be as grounded, to be as rooted, to be as established in the faith as we can possibly can be. Because one thing we know, that tribulation is going to come. It happens to all of us. That's just life. As we have pointed out many times before, Job pointed out that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's just life. It doesn't matter what situation you're in right now. You might have a bank account that's full. Your family situation may be wonderful. Your job might be great, but sooner or later, some trouble is going to come. Because that's life. I've often said there are more valleys in life than peaks. Because, again, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's just the way life goes. That's why we enjoy the peaks so much. There's a lot of valleys in all of our lives. And when it comes down to our spirituality and serving God, many times it's just the sad reality. Some people serve God and they're excited and they do well until those problems creep in. And because they're spiritually shallow, they quit when life doesn't go their way. This is why Paul, look over at Colossians chapter 2. You remember what he wrote to the brethren at Colossae. Colossians, the second chapter. And beginning at verse 6, he says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." That is very important that we are grounded. You don't do that by accident. You don't just automatically become grounded. You do it by attending services like this. But you must be consistent at it. You do it by consistently reading and studying your Bible. You do it by attending gospel meetings, not just our own, but even gospel meetings in the area. You stay engaged in spiritual activity so you can get stronger and more grounded all the time. And then when those bad times come, you won't like it. Nobody likes trouble. Nobody likes persecution. Nobody likes tribulation. But at least they won't cause you to give up on God. They won't cause you to quit. But if you're not grounded, you may not even realize it right now that will be your reaction. Even in the parable, no doubt, those who receive the word of God, and again, they're excited and they're full of joy, they don't know while life is going great and everything is wonderful that they can't really take the persecution. But when it comes, it knocks them off their feet. Only way you can prevent that is making sure that you are grounded and rooted in the faith. Bad company is another thing that can cause us to backslide. I think again that we remember Paul's warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. At verse 33, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and at verse 33, Paul said, "Do not be deceived." It's always worth taking note whenever you hear that. Paul many times started a sentence like that. Do not be deceived. And whenever he said that, you know, Paul didn't just waste words. Whenever Paul said that, it's because whatever follows is something that many people were being deceived about. This is one of them. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Don't be deceived by that. It's amazing to me that there are some in the church who think that they can hang out with any crowd and they're not going to be affected by that. Bad company ruins good morals. Our young people need to be aware of that. We have wonderful young people here and very impressive. And one of the things that can knock you off track is hanging out with the wrong crowd. And not just young people. I've seen many times over the years, young adults get hooked up with the wrong crowd or the wrong person. It might be someone starting to date someone who is outside of the body of Christ, who is not a Christian. And sometimes those things turn out okay, and sometimes even the non-Christian is converted by the power of the gospel, but many times it's the other way around. The Christian is converted back to paganism or heathenism. Because of what Paul said here, bad company ruins good morals. We shouldn't be hanging out with people who hate our Father. We shouldn't make best friends of the world. If we do that, James says, we become enemies of God. And so let's be careful about that. One of the things, and really it's another thing that can cause us to backslide, is a love of the world. We can love the world, any kind of ungodliness or righteousness. Sometimes that might come in the form of people. Remember what John wrote in 1 John chapter 2? 1 John, the second chapter, he warns us about that at verse 15 beginning. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whosoever doeth the will of God abides forever. But it's that bad company that can stop us in our tracks and stop us from doing the will of God. So we have to be careful. Just things that can, we know we can backslide. We know we can fall from grace. So what are some of the things that might cause us to do that? Bad company is one of them. A love of this world that might include that bad company can certainly do that as well. Let's make sure that we're grounded. Let's make sure that we're rooted. Let's make sure that we're spending our time with other Christians, with those who love our Heavenly Father, those of like precious faith, that can build us up and not tear us down spiritually. As we think about backsliding, another thing that we ought to probably contemplate, not only the reality that we can backslide, not only some of the things that might cause us to backslide, but we, of course, should be very much aware of what happens when we do backslide, the results of backsliding. Remember the great prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 59? And at verse 1 and 2, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 and 2, Isaiah makes it pretty plain what happens if we go back into sin. At verse 1, he says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But he says, your iniquities, now watch this, have made a separation between you and your God. That's what happens when you backslide. You're separated from God. Make no mistake about that. If you backslide, if you go back into sin, if you start living contrary to the will of God, you are separated from God. 1 John chapter 1. Remember, John said, this is the message that I have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If he said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. Why? Sin separates us from God. He says, of course, if we will walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's what we want, ongoing fellowship with God. But when you backslide, you're separated from God. And when you're separated from God, you're separated from all of the blessings of God. And we don't want that, do we? We appreciate all that we have in Christ and all the great benefits, the spiritual riches that we have from our relationship with God. Do you want to be separated from that? That's what happens when you backslide. You can't think, well, I can backslide but still hang on to my relationship with God. No, that's the point of John. That's what some people were teaching. Some Gnostics, Christians were teaching that very thing. John says, no, you lie and the truth is not in you. Isaiah was the first to point that out, or pointed that out long before John ever got around to it. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins has hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. You can't even maintain a prayer life with God. When you backslide, you give that up with all the other spiritual blessings. You lose the salvation of your soul. It's serious business to backslide. Let's do everything we can not to backslide. I know that it's possible with me. It doesn't matter really how strong you are at the moment. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You can be a seasoned saint. You could achieve great spiritual things, but we always have to keep our guard up because the devil is alive and active, and he wants you to backslide. In fact, it is his mission to get you in whatever way he can to influence you to give up on God in backslide. It can happen. Remember Paul, in talking about standing, he emphasized that all of us, let everyone take heed lest he fall. Any of us can do that. So let's do the things that can prevent that. Let's be grounded and rooted in the faith. Let's spend more time with each other instead of those who are outside the body of Christ and don't have the like precious faith. Let's set our minds on things above instead of things on this earth and not fall in love with the things of this world. So we can be strong now and be strong for the rest of our lives and go to heaven after a while. We don't want God to describe us like he described his people in the Old Testament. He referred to them as harlots. They were faithless. They were backsliding people. I hope that won't happen to any of us. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you are a Christian and you have backslidden. God has a second law of pardon for those who are in Christ who go back into sin. Aren't you glad about that? That he's such a loving God, a forgiving God, that he gives us second chances? You're a child of God. You've obeyed the gospel. Your sins were washed away at some point, but you backslid and you've gone back into the world. The Bible says you must repent and pray God. Ask God for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. That's not a might or maybe. If you'll repent of your sins and ask God for forgiveness, he will forgive you. If you have sinned publicly and brought shame upon the church, let us know about that so we can pray for you and help you in any way that we can. But get right with God. Of course, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to do that before it's too late. Mark 16 at verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whatever your situation is, make sure you leave this building tonight in a right relationship with God. Nothing's more important than that. Come forward as we together stand and sing.